And I do have a brief message to share tonight, but before I do, I just wanted to pass around the microphone. We do that each New Year's Eve, and just share thoughts, reflections, thanksgivings, thoughts about 2019 or looking forward to 2020. Anyone want to get us started off this evening? Crickets chirping. That's the way it always starts. Yep, Dan?
As I look back on 2019... It's easy to think about all the things that went wrong. There were a lot of tragedies, a lot of, both personal, within our nation, around the world. But I know, and it doesn't make the news, but there's also a lot of blessings that happened over the last year. And one thing I'm going to do for 2020 is I'm not going to focus on the negative. Of course, that'll be there. But I focus on the positive and look for the good in all things, whether it... ends up on our television sets or on the internet or not. There's a lot of good in the world, and for every bad thing that happens, there are literally hundreds of good things that happen every single day. So that's what I'm looking for in 2020.
Amen. That's great. Good outlook. Anybody else? How about if I share just a few thoughts, and then if something pops in your mind, you can even stop me in the middle of my, yeah? You can do that. This is going to be a little different tonight. Shake it up. I'm gonna put this on mute here. Excuses. If you're a parent, you're probably used to hearing excuses from your children. As a pastor, I hear a lot of excuses from people for not attending church. Some really whoppers. And actually, I've even thought of some of these excuses myself as a pastor. So I've heard this one. Pastor, I've worked 80 hours a week, and Sunday morning, I've got to re-energize myself. And then there's that inner voice that they train us not to say. Inside, I'm saying, no better place to energize yourself than at church. I've heard this one, boy, the music is too loud and too new, Pastor. I can't go to church. Now my inside pastor voice says, I've been to your house before. I heard how loud you play your music on your stereo system. I've heard this one, Pastor, there are just so many new people at church. It's just hard to, so many new people. Now the inside pastor voice says, well, you haven't been to church for 2 months. Of course there's going to be new people. excuses. Now, I have to admit, some of these excuses I've even voiced. So I'm not pointing any fingers tonight. When I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about myself. I'm not preaching at anyone here tonight. The excuses can pile up. The seat cushions are too soft. I can't sit them. The seat cushions are too... hard. The temperature in the sanctuary is too high. Can't make it. The temperature in the fellowship hall, it's too cold. The church caters to too many older people. The church only serves young people. There's that guy from the community that I just don't like, and he goes to the church. The pastor, he preaches really long sermons. And the pastor, I don't really understand his sermons. I've even thought that sometimes about the excuses that we use. Excuses. They're all out there. They pop up. You can't avoid them. They're going to pop up. They're going to be there. Well, tonight, New Year's Eve, you're here. That's saying something. You're here tonight. Now, Colleen asked you to be here in the choir, many of you. But you're here. You're here. There are a lot of other places that we could be tonight. The Alamo Bowl's going on, Texas and Utah, I think. I don't know what the score is, but that's something to do. The band is playing at Sky High Brewery. Maybe you kick off the new year that way. Or you could have said this, it's dark outside. I don't like to go outside. I like to just get under the covers and close out the new year. Maybe click on the remote control and catch the ball coming down at midnight, and that's good. You're here, and that says something. The reason why I'm thinking about all this, excuses, is because something interesting happened last month. Somebody came to church, and somebody is crawling around like a crazy man. No, he's not running, he's crawling. Somebody came to church last month that really had every excuse not to be here. This person had not been to church for 6 months. What difference would it make? One more service. Not a big deal. This person had has a terminal illness, ALS. He's facing the end of his life, actually, heading forward. This person has a machine, and when he came, he didn't want to disrupt anyone in the congregation with his presence. He was very shy about his situation. And the day that he came for church service was one of our most packed Sundays. It was packed inside the congregation, and we had people in the fellowship hall for the live streaming of the children's program, and the parking lot was completely full. See, there was every excuse not to be here. And he was here. That person's, I think you know who I'm talking about. Do you know who I'm talking about? Paul. Paul was here. And he did have all those excuses not to be here, and he was here. He gave me permission to share something that he wrote. I'm a prayer warrior for Paul, and very much on his side in his journey with ALS. A couple weeks after he was here for the Christmas program, he was over there in that little room right over there watching everything. It was a big deal for him. He wrote something on Christmas Day, and I went over today, prayed with him, and I asked him permission to just share a little clip of what he wrote. And I just wanted to read that to you tonight. And remember, this is someone from his own mouth looking at maybe his last year in 2020. It's from Paul. "I've been more reflective and contemplative this Christmas season than in the past. I wonder why. For those of us that believe the story, it is the most celebrated event of Jesus' life, his birth. That certainly is a good reason to celebrate, and I can see the arguments that would say that this is the most pivotal event in the life of Jesus. But here's why I start to contemplate. What other events in Christ's life have far-reaching impacts? His crucifixion. How amazing it is that God would send his only son to live here on earth with us, and then sacrifice him and give us everlasting life. I think, can I believe and be included? Then I remembered confirmation classes. I'm correct. I cannot do it. It is the grace of God given to me as a gift that allows me to believe. Yes, that is the most pivotal point in the life of Jesus, him dying on the cross for me." And then the email went on, and then he ended it, "Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. Love, Paul." His email goes on, but the point is made. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift, and he is dearly loved by Jesus. That's a reflection by someone who is facing just a few more days, maybe, or a few more months ahead. And that's not being grim. He's actually very confident of where he's at and very thankful for the gift that God's given him in this grace and love found in Jesus. You know, one of Satan's main strategies, I think, and C.S. Lewis covers this, is to put excuses into our heads to not do what God would want us to do. In his book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis says that Satan sends one of his confidants, one of his assistants, to frustrate the life of a worshiper in church. And so to do it, he didn't give him a terrible sin to commit or anything like that. Satan had his attendant place a really bad singer, two pews, behind the worshiper. And so that whenever a song came up with some important words, they'd hear this screeching sound behind them, and that would be an excuse not to enjoy worship and not connect with God. This is Satan's work, to put excuses into our minds, not just in church, but how do we serve our spouse? How do we serve our loved ones? How do we do what God wants us to do, to love our neighbor? Excuses, excuses, excuses. We're not going to get rid of the excuses in 2020. Each one of us is going, they're going to pop in our heads, whether we're a pastor, whether we're in the, you know, sitting in the pews, whether we're out in the community. It's just human nature to make up excuses. But the one thing we can do in 2020 is do what Paul does. Hold on to the grace that God has given us in his son Jesus. And that balances out all the excuses, all the hardships, all the troubles. And we can live with confidence. We can live with great joy. And we can live with generous hearts for others. So just a thought there as we think about 2020. Inspiration, not from me, but from our dear friend Paul. Anyone else have other things to share this evening? Looking into 2020, Svenja?
Thank you. So, just so you know, I'm not crying because I'm sad or anything. I just cry all the time. But this year has been very, very difficult because it's had a really big move coming here with Christian, which has been wonderful. And I've been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, which is basically a type of schizophrenia with a mood disorder attached. That's why I always cry. But there has been a really, really good doctor here that has helped me already so much. And in the next couple weeks, hopefully she'll be helping me a whole lot more. And I just really wanted to say thank you for all the support of everyone here. And maybe some prayers. Thank you for the doctor that's been helping me. And prayers for me that this gets a little bit easier as time goes on. I guess that's it. Thank you.
We love you very much.
Thank you.
Mal?
Related to what you were speaking of, I think I can only talk about myself, but I think it's easy to complain about things. Oh, I'm late. Oh, gosh, what are they going to say? And, oh, I got the wrong socks on, and my car's only half full of gas, and, you know, and this food I cooked is terrible, and, you know, you can be like a sinking ship that you can't bail out fast enough if you think of all the things that go wrong. But I have something I try to do, and I make it fun, kind of. And, we could say, I could be driving with one of my grandchildren and say, hey, we're going to be late. And then we could say, well, it could be worse. We could be going to somebody's funeral or going to church. Just sort of think about those words. It could be worse. And that's just something I have found is a way to quit feeling sorry for myself.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for sharing. Elaine.
I think I've just been putting this whole Christmas season in perspective, because it has been worse for Pastor Jack and Joy. And on Saturday, as we were with family, he was conducting the funeral for his grandson. And so I just have been amazed at his strength and everything that's happened. And so just been thinking a lot about them.
We may hear from Pastor Jack this summer. This is the 70th anniversary this year of Peace Lutheran Church. Isn't that amazing? It was chartered in 1950, so 2020, this year, is the 70th anniversary. And talking to Pastor Jack, thought it would be a good idea to invite him this summer to come back and maybe share some stories about the history of peace. So, other comments, thoughts? We are going to, at this point, take a time to collect an offering, and Karen's going to lead that, I believe. And as she does that, I'm going to prepare the Lord's table for communion.